Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Masechet Sota, daf Lamed Beis. Rabbi Leibowitz again is in L.A. for or the West Coast for the weekend, and so this is Alicia Greff filling in for Rabbi Leibowitz. Today we are going to start. We're going to be starting the seventh parak of Masechet Sota. So we had been learning over the past few prakim a little bit about the procedure for the kinui, for the stira. We've also been learning about the procedure for the mincha sota and the general halachelach here about the whole sota process. This mishnah in the beginning of the seventh parak is going to tell us one halacha that is related to parsha sota, and then use that as a springboard for discussing other categories of things that are spoken in terms of, do they have to be spoken in Lashon HaKodesh, or can they be spoken in any language that the person saying the thing understands? And again, we're going to learn about all of these various inyanim, because the first thing that the Mishnah is going to mention is Eilu Ne'emar in B'Chaloshon, that these are the things that can be said in any language, Lav Davka Lashon HaKodesh. Parsha Sota is the first thing on the list. So the Mishnah is going to bring down a couple of things that can be said in any language, followed by a couple of things that Davka have to be said in Lashon HaKodesh, and then the Mishnah is going to expound upon one of the things that we mentioned have to be said Davka in Lashon HaKodesh, which are the brachos and klolos that were said to Bnei Yisrael at Har Grizim and Har Eval. We're going to talk a little bit about why the Mishnah even brings this down, if the rest of the Mishnah appears to be dealing with halachos that are of practical import, things that we say every day that can either be said in any language or Davka in Lashon HaKodesh. We'll discuss that a little bit, and then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk a little bit about one of the reasons that Chazal were misakin that tefillah could be said quietly as opposed to out loud, and it has to do with not embarrassing sinners. The Gemara is then going to ask, well, if our goal is to not embarrass people who sin, then why do we provide that the Karban Chatas has to be a nekeva animal, and if it has to be a nekeva animal, can't you see that it's a nekeva? Because if it was a zachar, you'd be able to see if it's a zachar. So by looking at the animal that the guy's bringing, you could tell that he's a chote, and isn't that going to embarrass him? So we're going to explain the Gemara Shita. The Gemara has a couple of explanations as to why we may not be concerned about that, or why we may not be concerned about that in certain circumstances. So let's pick up Lama Bezam and Aleph. We're at the beginning of the parak. So says the Gemara, says the Mishnah as follows: Eilu Ne'emar in B'chol Lashon. These are the things that could be said in any language. So right off the bat, Tosfos says, well, lav davka any language. If you look at the first Tosfos here in the parak, it says Eilu Ne'emarim. So look at the Girsa, he has Bilshonam. Not these are the things that could be said in any language, but these are the things that could be said in their language. Whose language? The language of the person who's saying the thing. In other words, Uperish, Kol Adam Bilshono Shehu Shamea, that anybody can say these various things, these various parshios, in any language that he understands. Lafuke Lamadai Shein Omar Balashan Parsi Imeno Shamea. However, a person who comes from Madai can't say any of these parshios in Lashon Parsi if he doesn't understand the Lashon Parsi. Ava B'chol Lashon, however, the girsa that we have in the Mishnah, which Tosfos says is inaccurate, B'chol Lashon Mashma, Bein Shamea, Bein She'enu Shamea. Uv Gemara L'mashma Hachi, but we'll see in the Gemara that it's not Mashma that you could say these things in any language, irrespective of whether you understand. It's Mashma that you could say these things in a language other than Lashon HaKodesh, only if you understand that language, which is why Tosfos has the girsa, Eilu Ne'emarim Bilshonam. These are the things that could be said in the language of the person who is saying the applicable parsha. The Chafetz Chaim explains that these other languages can be used only where the language is spoken, unlike Lashon HaKodesh, which can be used anywhere, even if Hebrew isn't generally spoken in that locale. So a similar idea, but a little bit of a twist on it. So for example, in France, you'd be allowed to say the Parsha Sota in French. In England, you would not be allowed to say the Parsha Sota in French. However, in either France or England or America or anywhere else in the world, you would be allowed to say Parsha Sota in Lashon HaKodesh. So the first thing that could be said, Bilshonam, in the language that a person understands other than Lashon HaKodesh, is Parshas is Parsha Sota. So Parsha Sota could be said in any language. In other words, the Parsha that the Kohen says to the Isha, the Parsha that the Kohen says to the woman can be said in any language that the woman understands. And Rashi explains that were it not for the limud that we're going to learn later in the Shira on Lamed Beis, then we would have thought to derive a Kal V'Chomer from Chalitza that Parsha Sota can only be spoken in Lashon HaKodesh, because we'll see later in the Mishnah one of the things that could be spoken only in Lashon HaKodesh is the Parsha of Chalitza, and we would assume that Sota, where we're talking about an Eish HaSish potentially being Mizana with somebody else, is more Chomer than Chalitza, and therefore Madach, if Chalitza has to be said in Lashon HaKodesh Davka, then Sota also has to be said in Lashon HaKodesh Davka. So Kamashmalan, the Gemara is going to derive through Psukim that Parsha Sota could be said in any language, or specifically a language that the woman understands. Vidui Meiser can be said in a language other than Lashon HaKodesh if the person understands the Lashon. So what's Vidui Meiser? So Vidui Meiser is recited in the fourth and seventh years of the Shemitah cycle. On the last day of Pesach, a person says Vidui Meiser. It's effectively a certification that he has properly distributed all of his Truma and Meiser obligations for that year as appropriate. We'll see in the Gemara why it's called a Vidui. So Kriyashma, next thing on the list, says the Mishnah, is Kriyashma can be said in a language that a person understands. Utfila, and also Tfila Shmon Esrei, can be said in a language that a person understands. It doesn't have to be Davka Lashon HaKodesh. Uberchas HaMazon, and Berchas HaMazon also can be said in any language that a person understands. It doesn't Davka have to be Lashon HaKodesh. Ushvuas Eidus, also Shvuas Eidus. Shvuas Eidus is if a person tries to subpoena his friend to court to testify on his behalf in a Din Torah, and the person doesn't know Eidus, so he has to take a Shvua that he doesn't know any Eidus, that he's not simply withholding any Eidus, it's that he doesn't know any Eidus to come to court and to testify on the guy's behalf. Ushvuas HaPikadon, and also Shvuas HaPikadon, if a person alleges that he gave a pikadon to somebody else to watch, and the shomer is mechuyev v'shvua, so the shomer's shvua, the shvua's pikadon that the shomer makes, can be in any language that the shomer understands, even if it's not Lashon HaKodesh. Tosfos over here, Dibur HaMaskel Kriyashma, the last Tosfos on the page, is bothered that the Mishnah lists a couple of things that could be said in any language, and specifically a few things that relate to ritual things that a person says, like Kriyashma or Tefillah or Berachas HaMazon, various tefillahs that don't have to be said in Lashon HaKodesh. And Tosfos says, Tema, Amayshi or Halel, V'Kiddush El Shabbos. Why does the Mishnah leave over Halel, which could be said in any language? Kiddush El Shabbos could be said in a language other than Lashon HaKodesh. Uberachas HaPeros, Uberachas HaMitzvah. So if you make a Berachas HaNenin or you're making a Berachas HaMitzvah, that it could be said in any language other than Lashon HaKodesh. V'Lekel HaMeimer Delo Nakat Ela Doraisa. And don't say, no, the Mishnah is only mentioning things that are Doraisa, that could be said in any language. However, things that are midrabanan, of course they could be said in any language. Don't say that. Because tefillah and kriyashma aren't the list in the Mishnah, yet tefillah and kriyashma are only midrabanan. The ode, the also mashma, the kiddush daraisa, and also don't assume that everything that we left off the list in the Mishnah is only something that's derabanan, because kiddush we learn out is daraisa. So you can't say that we're being mechalek, mentioning only the daraisas, leaving over the derabanans, because the things that are mentioned in the Mishnah are derabanans, and some of the things that the Mishnah left out are daraisas. V'achim mashmanami beperek bereish maseches nazir. So bishlam amikra megillah ikalem emar lahachi shir. The Tana beperek beiz the megillah alo. So says Tosfos, I understand why you left off Mikra Megillah, because Mikra Megillah is Lav Davka, because Mikra Megillah, we have already another Mishnah that teaches us that a person who usually speaks Laz, who hears Ashuris, which is Lashon HaKodesh, then he's Yotza. But why are you leaving off these things? We don't have anywhere else in Shas where it's telling me the halacha of whether I have to say these things in Lashon HaKodesh or whether I could say them in any other language. Unlike Megillah, I understand why we leave it off, because in Maseches Megillah we deal with it. But why not mention these other things here? Elahani Amayshir, Venira Dahani Nemar and B'chol Lashon. Afilu Eino Shemeya. Hilkach lo domi lahani demasisa demarim dafka bil shonam. So this Tosfos picking up on what the first Tosfos in the Perek had said. Remember, the first Tosfos in the Perek had said that when we say in the Mishnah that elu nemarim b'chol lashon, slav dafka b'chol lashon, it's only in a language that you understand. So why are these things mentioned in the Mishnah? Because these things that are mentioned in the Mishnah, kriyashma, tefila, birchas hamazon, they can be said in a language other than lashon hakodesh only if a person understands that other language. These other things like hallel, Berchas Hanenin, Berchas HaMitzvah, these other things could be said in another language even if the person doesn't understand the other language. So it's not quite the same halacha. That's why these things are not brought down in the Mishnah. That's what the Shita of Tosfos is. Again, picking up Lishitasei on the concept that he introduced us to in the first Tosfos in this parak. So that was the list of things that could be said in a language other than Lashon HaKodesh. Now the Mishnah is going to provide a list of things that can be said dafka in Lashon HaKodesh. They have to be said dafka in Lashon HaKodesh. Ve'ilu nemarim b'Lashon HaKodesh, says the Mishnah 4 lines down, that these are the things that have to be said dafka in Lashon HaKodesh. The Mikra Bikurim, so the parsha of Mikra Bikurim, Arami Obed Avi, has to be said dafka in Lashon HaKodesh. V'chalitza, and chalitza, brachos uklalos, the brachos uklalos that were said to Klal Yisrael on Har Grizim and Har Eval. So right over here we have to pause because these other things are things that are said again on a regular basis. Mikra Bikurim, we have Chalitza, we have in the first list Parsha of Sota, we have Kriyashma, we have Tfila, we have things that we say in the Jewish religion, in the ritual, on a regular, either a daily or a semi-regular basis. The brachos and klolos were one thing that happened. They were a point in history that happened, you know, generations and generations and generations ago when Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, is when we had the brachos and klolos, when they crossed the Yarden and sat by Gilgal. So why are we mentioning this here? So you have to say that the reason that we mention it here is because the brachos and klolos are used as a source of teaching us that certain of these other things have to be said at Dafka and Lashon HaKodesh. We'll make a couple of Gzeira Shavas, and because we're making a couple of Gzeira Shavas, learning from the Brachos and Klolos as a source, that's why it's mentioned here. But the Brachos and Klolos at Har Grizim and Har Eval, those are something that have to be said Dafka and Lashon HaKodesh. Birchas Kohanim, The Berchas Kohanim, Duchening has to be said Dafka Lashon HaKodesh, or Berchas Kohen Gadol, the Bracha of the Kohen Gadol, that the Kohen Gadol says on Yom Kippur after he exits the Kodesh HaKodashim, that has to be said in Lashon HaKodesh. Parshas HaMelech, Hakel, has to be said in Lashon HaKodesh. Uparshas Egla Ruf, and the Parsha of Egla Ruf has to be said in Lashon HaKodesh. And Meshuach Melchama B'Shar Shemedaber La'am. Now the Kohen Meshuach Melchama, he gives the Tzibur assembled who are going to fight in the war, a whole pep talk before they go out to battle. So that pep talk, that whole speech that the Meshuach Melchama gives to the people assembled who are going to go fight the war, that has to be in Lashon HaKodesh. So says the Mishnah, Viter. So Mikra Bikurim Ketzad. So what is Mikra Bikurim? And Rashi points out, doesn't Dafka mean what is Mikra Bikurim? Because the Mishnah is not going to explain to us what Mikra Bikurim is. The real question of the Mishnah, what the Mishnah is driving at is Mikra Bikurim Minayin. We had said that Mikra Bikurim has to be Dafka in Lashon HaKodesh. How do we know that Mikra Bikurim has to be in Lashon HaKodesh? So Ketzad, so Minayin. So it says in the Pasuk, Vanisa Vamartal of Ne'ashem Elokecha, because it says Vanisa Vamartal of Ne'ashem Elokecha, and then it follows with the parsha of Bikurim with the Rami Ovidavi. Ula Halanu Omer, by the Brachos and Klolos, it says V'anu Halavim V'amru. It also uses a Lashon of Aniyah, V'anu Halavim V'amru. So Malahalan B'Lashon HaKodesh, Avkan B'Lashon HaKodesh. So just like over there, it was B'Lashon HaKodesh, just like by the Brachos and Klolos, they were said B'Lashon HaKodesh. So too, over here, by Mikra Bikurim, where it also uses the Lashon of V'anisa, of V'anu, we also have to say it in Lashon HaKodesh. Chalitza Ketzad. So how do we know, again, the Kasha is Minayin? How do we know that the Parsha of Chalitza has to be said Dafka in Lashon HaKodesh? Because it says, V'ansa V'amra, that the woman answers and says, U'lalanu Omer, and again by the Brachos and Klolos, by our Grizim and our Eval, it says, V'anu Halavim V'amru. It says Vianu. This says Lashon of Anu. Vanu Alavim Vamru. So Malah Alam B'Lashon Hakodesh. Avkam B'Lashon Hakodesh. Just like by the brachas on Klalos, they were said Davka in Lashon Hakodesh. So too by the parsha of Chalitza, it has to be said Davka in Lashon Hakodesh. Rav Yehuda Omar Viansa Viamra. That it says Viansa Viamra. Kacha. It doesn't only say Viansa Viamra, but it says Viansa Viamra Kacha. It says she answers and she says like this. Sa'ad Shetomar Balashan Azeh. Until she says it in this specific manner, in this specific language. So Bracha Saklalos Ketzad. So what were the case of Bracha Saklalos? The Gemara is going to explain why Rav Yehuda has to learn it from the word Kacha and why he can't learn it Gzeir Shava from Viansa Viamra like the first Shita brought down. But we'll see that in the Gemara. So now the Mishnah says, okay, so far we asked about Mikra Bikurim, we asked about Chalitza, you told me that both of those inyanim were sourced in the inyan of Brachos and Klalos, that just like the Brachos and Klalos had to be Balashna Kodesh, so too Mikra Bikurim, so too the Parsha of Chalitza had to be Balashna Kodesh, but how do we know about the concept of the Brachos and Klalos themselves? How do we know about this? So Brachos and Klalos, Ketzad. So over here, Ketzad really means Ketzad, what happened. And the Gemara is going to expound in a couple of blot exactly what happened, Ba'arichas, at length, what happened when Klal Yisrael crossed the Yarden. But Brachas and Klal is Ketzad. So Kibin Shamri Sha'over Yisrael as a Yarden. Once Klal Yisrael passed the Yarden, Ubo al Grizim al Eval Shabbat Shomron, and they came to our Grizim and our Eval, which was in the Shomron region, Shabbat Sad Shchem, that was near Shchem. That Shchem that is near Elone Mora, and how do I know that Shchem is near Elone Mora? Shenemar, because it says Halohema Be'ever HaYarden. It says by the Brachos and Klolos Halohema Parshas Kisavo Halohema Be'ever HaYarden. They were Be'ver HaYarden. Ula Halanu Omer. And later it says, and earlier rather it says in the other in another place, much earlier in the Chumash, it says V'Yavar Avram Ba'aretz Ad Mekom Shechem Ad Elone Mora. Ma Elon Moreh Omer LaHalon Shchem, just like the Elon Moreh, which was said by Avram Avinu, was near Shchem. Afe Elon Moreh Omer Khan, also the Elon Moreh, which was said by the Brachos and Klolos, by Har Grizim and Har Eval, Shchem, it was also by Shchem. So they crossed the Yarden, they went to Har Grizim and Har Eval, which were in the Shomron, near Shchem, which is near Elon Moreh. And what happened there? Shisha Shvatim Olo L'Rosh Har Grizim. Six of the Shvatim went up to Har Grizim. V'shisha Shvatim Olo L'Rosh Har Eval. And six of the Shvatim went up to the top of Har Eval. V'akonim v'alavim v'aron omdim l'mata. And the Kohanim, the Levim, and the Aron were standing beneath in the valley between the two mountains. B'yemtza in the middle. Akonim akifin es Aron. The Kohanim encircled the Aron. V'alavim es Akonim. And the Levim encircled the Kohanim. V'chol Yisrael mikan mikan. And we already said that the Klal Yisrael, everybody in Klal Yisrael, the Shvatim were all up on the tops of the mountains, six on top of Har Grizim, six on top of Har Eval. Shenemar v'Klal Yisrael v'Zkeinav v'Shotrav v'Shoftav omdim mizeh umizeh la'aron. They were standing on either side of the Aron. So hapchu pneim klape Har Grizim. They turned their face towards Har Grizim. Upasku bebracha, and they began with a bracha. Baruch Eish Asher Lo Yaseh Pesul Amaseicha. Ve'elu ve'elu omre ve'elu ve'elu onin amein. And everybody would answer amein. Hafku pneim klape Har Eval. They would then turn toward Har Eval. Upasku beklala, and they would begin with a klala. Aruor Eish Asher Yaseh Pesul Amaseicha. Ve'elu onin amein. And ve'elu ve'elu and both the shvatim on top of Har Grizim and the shvatim on top of Har Eval would say. Amen. So, for those who are familiar with Parshas Kisavo, which I am only solely because it's my Bar Mitzvah Parsha, you'll realize that the Torah, that the Parsha, it does talk about Brachos and Klolos, but not over here. By the Klolos and our Grizim and our Eval, it just goes through the Arurs. It doesn't even say Meforish the Brachos. So what are you talking about here in the Mishnah when it says that they would turn over here and they would say Baruch, and then they would turn over here and say Arur? In the Chumash, it only talks about the Arur. But Rashi explains, well, the Brachos were simply the opposite of the Arur. So how do we know that they said Baruch Asher Yaseh Pesul LaMaseicha? Because the Pasuk tells us Arur Asher Yaseh Pesul LaMaseicha. So it must be that the Brachos were the flip side of The brachas were the flip side of exactly what the klalos were. So they would go through this procedure, acha gomrim brachas uklalos, until they finished the brachas and klalos, v'achar kach hevius u'avonim, and after that they brought the stones, they brought stones, ubanu esam ezbeach, and they built a mezbeach, v'sadu besid, and they covered it with wine, v'kosfu olav, as kol divrei haTorah, b'shivim lashon. And they wrote the words of the Torah in 70 languages on these stones, shenemar ba'erei tev, because it says, ba'erei tev is mashma, b'shivim lashon, that you should explain it so well that anybody can understand what's written, and anybody can understand what's written no matter what language he spoke, he would understand the Torah that was written on these stones. Ubo Vilanu Bimkoman. And then they came and they slept in their place. With what's their place? Rashi says that they slept in Gilgal. And the Gemara is going to explain later that that it sounds like what they did was that they went to Har Grizim and Har Eval, and then they said the brachas and klalos. Everybody answered amen. Then they took these stones. They built these stone piles and they wrote the Torah. They covered them with lime and they wrote the Torah in 70 languages. Then it sounds like they dismantled the stones and they carried them with them to Gilgal, because it says that they slept in Gilgal, but where they were, Har Grizim and Har Eval, which was Betzad Shechem Elo Moreh, is not right by Gilgal, so they took the stones and they traveled to Gilgal, and there at Gilgal, which was basically back near where they crossed the Yardane, they erected the stones as a mizbeach, as a monument to, as a testament to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed this great nace when they crossed the Yardane. And again, the next day, we're going to learn exactly about the many nisim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed at that time, when Klal Yisrael crossed the Yardane. So says the Gemara as follows. Now, top of Lama Beis and Mabeis. So, Parsha Sota Minolan. How do we know that the Parsha of Sota, going back to the list in the beginning of the Mishnah, how do we know that the Parsha of Sota can be said in any language, or dafka in a language that the woman understands, but even a language other than Lashon HaKodesh? Tichsiv, V'amar HaKoyin Li'isha, it says, V'amar HaKoyin Li'isha, B'chol Lashon Shehu Omer. In any language that he wants to say it in, another, in other words, in any language other, even a language other than Lashon HaKodesh. So Tana Rabbanan, Mashmian Osa B'chol Lashon Shehi Shomas. It doesn't mean any language that the Kohen understands. The goal here, again, is to read the Parsha Sota to the woman. So it doesn't go after the Kohen, what the Kohen understands, but the Kohen can read the Parsha of Sota to the woman in a language other than Lashon HaKodesh, provided that the woman understands that other language. So what's he explaining to her? So he explains to her like this. Alma hishosa, why she's drinking. Uba mehishosa, through what is she drinking? Alma nitmes, how did she become tame? Uba mehi nitmes, and the process through which she became tame. So then the Gemara is going to expound a little bit on this. Alma hishosa, so what is that? What does it mean? Alma hishosa, why is she drinking? Aliske kinu yastira, why? Because the husband gave her a kinui, says, look, I don't want you around this guy, and then she had a stira with the guy, so that's why she's drinking, because it was this kinui stira process. She flunked that test, and that's why she's drinking now. Uba mehi shosa, and with what is she drinking? Bimakida shel cheres, with a fire pot of cheres. It's a very basic and disgusting utensil, because she did a very base and disgusting thing. She was behaving in a very disgusting manner. That's why we humiliate her by forcing her to drink with this very degrading pot. So alman nitmeis, how did she become tamei? Al iske schok v'yaldus, by just acting in a manner of schok and a very childish and immature manner. She wasn't acting like an adult. Ubamei nitmeis, and how was she tamei? Beshogeg or bemezid? Was it beshogeg or was it bemezid? Beones or beratzon? Was it beones or was it beratzon? V'kol kach lama, why would you get into whether it was beshogeg, bemezid, beones, beratzon? So says the Gemara, shalo lahotzi laz alamayim amarim, so that you shouldn't cast aspersions on the mayim amarim. So what does that mean? So Rashi over here says, shemnites beones or shogeges, velo nivdekes, shalote svura ilu nitmesi bemezida, Gamkein Loha Yubotkinosi. So Rashi says, well, because The me'amarim would only test the woman and would only cause the woman to explode if she was neveles b'mezid, or if she was neveles b'ratzon. However, if she was neveles b'ones, if she was raped, then God forbid the me'amarim wouldn't test her. And if she was neveles b'shogeg, the me'amarim also wouldn't test her. So the reason that they would get into the specifics and drill down on whether it was b'shogeg or b'mezid, it's that she shouldn't say, oh, it's not testing me because I'm a shogeg, but don't worry, it wouldn't test me either if I was a mezid. I would test her if she was a mezid. The only reason why it's not testing her is because she was a shogeg. Over here, the achronim are a little bit bothered over here. How come Rashi has two different explanations of what a shogeg is? So over here he says shogeges is kagon amrula meis baleich. Where somebody said that your husband died, so she thinks that her husband is dead, and now she's going and sleeping with another man, so that's called a shogeg. She doesn't intend on committing adultery, she thinks her husband is dead. Rashi, a couple of blot ago, we were also dealing with a case of shogeg, and Rashi over there said he had this crazy case. It was two couples were sleeping in a room, and it was dark, and he thought he was with his wife, and he was really with others, so the achronim already bothered. Why does Rashi have to use these two different examples of shogeg? Why can't he stick with the same thing? So they work on it. They're trying to teach different elements, different halachas out of both cases. But the basic point here for our purpose in the Gemara is that the me'amarim test only if it was b'mezid, not if it was b'shogeg. That's why we drill down whether it was b'shogeg or mezid, so that you shouldn't think, oh, it's not testing me because I was b'shogeg. It also wouldn't test me if I was b'mezid. No, she shouldn't say it would test her if she was b'mezid. The only reason that she's getting off without a testing her is because she may have been b'shogeg here. Okay, so now the Gemara moves on to the next thing that was mentioned in the Mishnah's list, things that could be said in a Lashon other than Lashon HaKodesh, if the person understands that Lashon. Vidui Meiser, so Minolan, how do we know that Vidui Meiser could be said in a Lashon other than Lashon HaKodesh? D'chziv v'yamarta levnei Hashem Elokecha, bi'arti HaKodesh min Abayis. It says, bi'arti HaKodesh min Abayis, v'yalef amira amira misota, b'chol Lashon Shu Omer, and we have amira amira from Sota. Again, by Sota it said v'yamar, and over here it said via marta. So just like by sota, it's b'chol lashon shu omer. By any, the kohen could say it in any language that he and the woman understand. So too, vidui meiser can be said in any language that the person understands. Lav dafka lashon hakodesh. So why don't we learn the Amira from Levim by the Brachos and Klolos? In the Mishnah, we had said that we learn Parsha of Chalitza, and we learn other things from the fact that it says by the Brachos and Klolos, it says vi anu v'amru. So if it says vi anu v'amru, so why are we learning vi amar or vi amarta from Sota? Why don't we learn Amira from the Levim by Brachos and Klolos? Mal halam b'lashon hakodesh, af kan b'lashon hakodesh. Just like over there by the Brachos and Klolos, it has to be b'lashon hakodesh. Also over here by the Vidui Meiser, it should be b'lashon hakodesh. Why are we learning it from Sota and not from the Brachos and Klolos? So says the Gemara like this: Adon and Amira Gredasa Amira Gredasa. Because we learn a simple lashon Amira from a lashon Amira. They ain't done an Amira Gredasa Me'ania V'Amira. And we don't learn. We don't learn an Amira Gredasa, an Amira standing alone, from V'anu V'amru. Again, by the Brachos HaKlolos, it says V'anu V'amru. Over here it says, by Vidui Meiser, it says V'amarta, which is a Stam Lashon of Amira. So we learn a Stam Lashon of Amira from Sota, which is also a Stam Lashon of Amira. We don't learn a Stam Lashon of Amira from V'anu V'amru, which is what's said by Brachos HaKlolos. That's why we don't learn from Brachos HaKlolos. Says the Gemara Vayter. So Tani Reb Shimon ben Yochai Omer. So Adam Omer Shvacho b'kol namach. A person should extol his praises, should sing his praises in a low voice. Ugnusa b'kol ram. And he should talk about his embarrassing things out loud. Shvacha b'chol namach. How do we know that you should say your shevach, that you should sing your praises in a low voice? So I'm in Vidui Meiser, because we learn that We learned that from Vidui Meiser. So what's the praise by Vidui Meiser? So by Vidui Meiser, so Rashi says, it says, we say things, lo avarti mitzvasecha v'lo shachachti, we talk about how great we are. We didn't forsake any mitzvah. We didn't forget to do any mitzvah. Now it's interesting because Vidui Meiser, why is it called Vidui? It's not a Vidui at all. You're not, a vidui would be a confessional that, oh, I didn't give all the trumas and maisras that I was supposed to. But that's not what it is. It's a certification that you did give all the trumas and maisras, trumas and maisros that you were supposed to. In fact, it says, lo avarti mitzvasecha v'lo shachachti. So why is it called vidui? So the Mefarshim explain, it's called vidui dafka because you're supposed to say it b'kol namach. You're supposed to say it like we're mizvadeh, very quietly, very privately. When we sing our praises, we're supposed to do it in a very tznius way. Now, how do we know that it should be said quietly? Because Rashi explains, it doesn't say va'anu va'amru, it doesn't say va'anisa va'amarta, it's just va'amarta. So it should be said quietly. So says the Gemara Vayter. So it says b'kol ram. How do we know that you're supposed to say that you're supposed to talk about your embarrassing things, your gnus b'kol ram imikra bikurim? From mikra bikurim we know that because by mikra bikurim it does say va'anisa v'amarta, and anytime there's a lashon of aniyah, it means out loud. And what's mikra bikurim? So mikra bikurim is all about Arami Yoved Avi. So we're talking about how we're descendants of Lavan, basically, because Yaakov Avinu married Lavan's daughters. So when we talk about our gnus, that has to be Va'anisa Va'amarta. That has to be said out loud. When we talk about Vidui Meiser, how great we are, that has to be said quietly. So says the Gemara challenges this proposition. So Vignusa b'kol ram, is it true that your gnus should be said out loud? Why were they misakin that you should damage monesre quietly? So that ovri avera should not be embarrassed. Why? Because when a person would damage monesre, he would ask for forgiveness of particular averos that he was over on. And if people would have to daven out loud, then everybody else would know what the other guy's averos are, and that's not proper. So that's why they were misakin. A person should daven Shemoneh Esrei quietly, so only he should know what he's being mizvada on. Nobody else has to know what he's being mizvada on. But if you're telling me that I should say my gnus b'kol rum, then in that case, why were they misakin that I should say tefillah b'lachash? I should say tefillah out loud and let everybody know. I should humiliate myself. Let everybody know what averos I did. And the Gemara says, Sha'arei loch Chilak hakosav makom bein chatas liola. And how do we know the concept? What's the paradigm for this concept of tefillah belachash that you shouldn't be mevayish over yavera? Because the psukim when it talks about the proper place and the procedure for shechting a carbon chatas and a carbon ola, they both have to be slaughtered litzfon mizbeach. They both have to be slaughtered on the north side of the mizbeach. Why? So that it should not be readily apparent to people who are watching when a person is bringing a chatas and when a person is bringing an ola, so that we shouldn't embarrass them. So says the Gemara, you're right, lo tema gnuso, we don't mean to say that you should say your gnus, that you should talk about things that humiliate you out loud, that you have to do quietly. Ella ema tsaro. What it means is that you should talk about your tsar, you should talk about things that pain you. You should talk about things that pain you out loud. What pains you in Mikra Bikurim? So again, it's a parsha of Lavan. It's about the fact that Arami Yoved Avi, and they tried to persecute us, and we went down to Mitzrayim, and we were Meshubit in Mitzrayim. So all that, it's not a gnus, it's not an embarrassment, it's a tsar. So a tsar you could say out loud. A gnus, however, that you should actually say quietly. Kedetanya, we learn like this, V'tomei tomei yikra, that a mitzora has to talk about tamei, he has to go around advertising basically the fact that he's tamei, tamei tamei yikra, tzora klodiyo, tzora l'rabim, he should talk about his tsar to the rabim, v'rabim mevakshim l'rachmim, and so the rabim, so everybody who hears him will be mevakish rachmim for him, that he should be purified from his tumah that he should be cured from his saras. Now, v'chol mi she'ira badavar tzarech lo'dia barabim, and anybody who has anything good happen to him, anybody who has anything bad happen to him, rather, tzarech lo'dia l'rabim, he has to inform everybody, he has to inform people of what happened to him. V'rabim mevakshim alav rachmim, and therefore everybody else will be mevakish rachmim for him on his behalf. So again, well, when we talk about saying things out loud, we're talking about sar, we're talking about things that might stimulate others to daven for you. But gnus, when you're talking about averus that you did, when you're talking about things that actually shame and humiliate you, those should be said quietly. So the Gemara now says Viter. So Gufa, Amrav Yochanan, Mishum Rav Shimon Min Yochai. Says Rav Yochanan, name Rav Shimon Min Yochai, Mimnei Mat Tiknu Tfila Balachash. Why were they Mesakin Tfila Balachash? Lo Levayesh is Ovrei Avera. So that they shouldn't be Mavayesh, so that they shouldn't be Mavayesh Ovrei, so that you shouldn't be Mavayesh Ovrei Avera, so that you shouldn't embarrass Ovrei Avera. Sharei Lo Chilek Akosa Mokam Mechatos Liola. So, and we see over here, and we see the source for this is that the Psukim said that the Chatos and the Ola have to be brought at the same side and on the same side with the same procedure by the Mizbeach, so that it shouldn't be readily apparent who's bringing an Ola and who's bringing a Karban Chatas. So it says, V'lo, is there no distinction between a Chatas and an Ola? V'ha'ika damim, there is the sprinkling of the blood, which is different. Again, the Mizbeach had a line that basically ran around pretty much the center of the Mizbeach, and depending on what type of Karban you were bringing, the Zrikas Adam would either have to be above the line or below the line. And it says, Dam Chatas lamala v'dam ola lamata, and the dam chatas would be sprinkled above the line, the dam ola would be sprinkled below the line. So don't tell me that the procedure for bringing the karbanas was exactly the same, because it wasn't. The blood service was different. Says the Gemara, yeah, but nobody sees that. That's only the coin. You can't see if you're standing elsewhere in the Azari. You can't see where the blood is being sprinkled. So it says, Hasam koinu de yada. Only the koin knows that. Nobody else knows that. V'ika chatas nekeva ola zachar. But the chatas has to be a nekeva, and the ola has to be a zachar. So you'll see what type of animal the person's bringing, and through that you'll know whether it's a carbon chatas or whether it's a carbon ola. So it says the Gemara, Hasam michse ba'alya. No, because the tail of the animal is going to cover the genitals of the male animal, so you won't be able to tell whether the animal's a zachar or a nekeva. So says the Gemara, well, hang on a second. Tenach kivsa. That's fine if you're bringing a kivsa, if you're bringing a lamb, because the lamb has, if you're bringing a lamb, that has a tail. So it's distinguishing between a chatas and an ola. So, and therefore it hides the distinction between a chatas and an ola because it has a tail. But se'ira, let's say you're bringing a female goat, which doesn't have a bushy tail. So if you're bringing a female goat and the goat doesn't have a bushy tail, then you could see it's a female. And if it's a female, then you know it's a chatas. And if it's a male, you know it's an ola. So says the Gemara, Michael Amemar, says the Gemara, Sahasam Iudukam Mixaf Nafshei. Well, what do you want from us? We can't go so far to protect the guy. The guy had a choice. He could bring his karban chatas either a kivsa or a zira. Had he brought a kivsa, had he brought a female lamb, it would have had a tail, and he wouldn't have been embarrassed because it had a tail. Nobody would be able to see whether it's a zachor or a nekeva. This chacham decided he has to bring a zira, which doesn't have a tail. Because it doesn't have a tail, people could see if it's a nekeva. I said the guy went out of his way. He did a stupid thing. He went out of his way to bring a zira, so let him be embarrassed. So says the Gemara, but bechatas de avodas kochavim dlo sagi de lav siira, Michael and Amar. There's a chatas of an Oved Kochavim, and a chatas for being Oved Avodah Zarah, he doesn't have a choice to bring either a kivsa or a seira. It has to be Davka seira. Now we're embarrassing the guy because the seira doesn't have a tail, and if it doesn't have a tail, you see it's in a kevah, so you know the guy's bringing a chatas. So says the Gemara, you're right, but Oved Kochavim is different. Hasam nichsa b'nezel kiechad in a chaperle. Oved Avodas Kochavim is such a serious avera, let him be embarrassed, because maybe the fact that he's embarrassed will serve as a kapara. But by a regular guy who's violating, quote, regular averos, we are going to give him an out. We're going to give him the possibility of concealing his embarrassment by telling him he could bring a kivsa, and because it has a tail, nobody's going to see whether it's a zachar or whether it's an akeva. So I saw in this email, the insights to the daf that I get, a beautiful vart by the Ma'aril Diskin. He says, if you look at the Parshios, if you look at the Psukim, rather, in Parshas Vayikra, it says that when a person brings a chatos, which is a seira, it says that the Kohen atones for him and he is forgiven. It just talks about v'nislachlo, that the Kohen, that he's forgiven for everything. However, if he brings the kifsa, it says that the Kohen v'nislachlo la'asher chata, that he's forgiven only for that specific aveira, only for that specific aveira that he violated. So Maril Diskin asks, why by the goat chatas it says stam a blanket kapara, but by the lamb chatas it says that a kapara only for the aveira that he did? And he answers based on our Gemara, because if a person brings a lamb chatas, he's not so embarrassed because the tail conceals whether it's a zachor or an akeva. So if he's not going to humiliate himself, then he gets a kapara because he's bringing a karban chatas for the aveira, but it's only for the aveira that he did. But if the guy's bringing a goat chatas where there is no tail, where there is no concealment of what the animal is, and it's apparent to everybody that it's a karban chatas, then he gets a kapara not only for the aveira that he violated, but for every aveira, because that element of being embarrassed, of being shamed, is going to trigger a rachmanus on him. And therefore he's going to be atoned not only for the avera that he violated, but for every avera but not only for that avera that he's bringing the carbon for, rather, but for every avera that he did, because he's being mevayish himself purposely. All right, so we'll stop for today. We'll pick up tomorrow explaining how we know that Kriya Shema could be said in any language.